Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with LaRon Landis. The late Patty Fink will be very late today, and she'll be with us next week. I hope, and we have Josh with us, Doc with us. I hope you had a very happy New Year, Steve.
I did. Thank you.
Because it was Steve, not Eve.
And I had a good birthday.
Happy birthday.
And
Josh, happy birthday.
And Josh, happy birthday. And Josh had a cute little story. When did you realize that birthday wasn't being celebrated? Josh's birthday is on December 31st.
Oh, and I had mentioned to LaRon that I couldn't tell him how old I was when I realized the fireworks weren't for me.
So you always thought that those fireworks were for your birthday.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world just loved Josh, so we're going to set off fireworks around the city.
Yeah. How old were you? 10?
Oh, no.
12?
Yeah, 10 or 12. We'll keep it there.
Oh, that is so hilarious.
So, LaRon, how old did he admit he actually was? Sometimes people will admit things off the air.
I know. He didn't tell me. He didn't tell me. 18, but I guess that is kind of interesting.
It might have been in my 20s.
Because my birthday is December 30th.
Right.
It's right after Christmas, but before New Year's. Mm-hmm. And I never had that problem, but I guess, you know, December 31st.
It was on New Year's, Steve.
It was not.
Well, yeah. And remember, I did grow up in a very small town, so admittedly, everyone would have known it was my birthday, and they
very
did
good point.
Have firecrackers.
Very good
and,
point.
You know.
So.
At least that's my excuse.
That's your excuse, and you're sticking with it. So, last week we did a kind of a year-end show wrap-up, and we kind of just want to do some more of that this week.
Well,
some stuff that we missed or didn't mention.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to start with some nonsense.
Okay.
Okay, so it's 2016 now, and it's the final year of Barack Obama.
Final year.
Yeah, so all of those racists are going to have nothing to complain about this time next year. They'll be celebrating, I guess, because actually, they won't be.
I was going to say, are you assuming they're going to win?
They're going to turn their racism into misogyny like that.
Oh, they already have. So, they already have.
So there'll be something else to hate. But here were the predictions about how Obama, this was in 2012, how Obama was going to ruin the economy with a second term. Because he ruined it with the first term.
No, he didn't walk into the mess that was already there. It was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so in March 2012, on the House floor, Mike Lee, who was the Republican senator from Utah, he predicted that if Obama was reelected, gas would be $6.05 a gallon by the beginning of 2015. You didn't pay that price very long, did you?
I
just filled up
$1.89 or $1.88.
I paid less today.
Really?
Filled up. Yes.
Well, I get premium, and I still pay just around $2 or under.
Mm-hmm.
So $6.
That wasn't the worst of it. Newt Gingrich, remember him?
Oh yeah.
He ran for president. Yeah, and
did.
And he, what a great president he would have been. He predicted that if Obama was reelected, he would push gas to $10 a gallon.
Mm.
Now, I filled up my tank, and I have an SUV on $20 today. And it only hit $20 because I was forcing it up. So I guess I only got 2 gallons of gas.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that he said is if he was elected, Gingrich, he would... he would reduce gas prices dramatically by reversing Obama's energy policies. And he promised, this was a new
campaign
promise.
You know, his promise is as good as gold.
That gas would go down to $2.50.
And where are we at now?
Good prediction.
Yeah.
I paid $1.85.
See?
Okay, next prediction. If Obama's reelected, unemployment will be stuck
at
over 8%.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It was that high. It was between 8.1 and 8.3 for the entire year in 2012. Mitt Romney predicted that if Obama was reelected, you're going to see chronic unemployment for four more years.
And now we're at, what, five?
Five.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, we know that it would be great if there were more higher-priced jobs, that if jobs were not being sent overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that everybody who wants a new job, who wants to move up, that those positions are available.
Right.
But Mitt Romney thought that the average middle-class family was making $250,000.
Wow, that's
a small... So if you get out of fast food, because that was something that he campaigned against, you know, that's an entry-level job, you know, when you're in school, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, but move on and do something else after that. Get a good education and move on and do something else. And then you can earn what an average middle-class person earns.
That's a small, tight, thick bubble that he lives in.
You think?
Yeah.
According to Donald Trump, immediately after Obama won re-election in November of 2012, people predicted the stock market was going to crash. Well, when Obama came into office, Bush, by the way, was the first president to have the Dow end his term lower than at the beginning of his term since, I think,
Eisenhower.
Carter or Nixon.
No.
The stock market had been stuck at that point, and it was lower. So first time was Bush. The stock market did dip to about 7,000. It's now closing in on 18,000. It closed at 17.9, I think, is about the highest that it's hit so far. Do you think, okay, so let's get the predictions. Is the stock market going to crash, or is it going to actually top 18,000?
I say the top.
Yeah, I think it'll go over 18.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the worry. The worry is, since 1900, every election has been determined by how the stock market has done. So, or not just the stock market, but the economy.
Right.
And the stock market's a good indicator. So every year that the market was higher, or the economy doing better than it was at the beginning of that term, either that person was reelected or the same party won reelection.
Yes.
Now, the one time that didn't work since 1900 was the 2000 election. Now, the stock market had soared. When Clinton came into office, the stock market was at about 4,000. When Clinton left office, it was at about 10,000. Here's the problem. At the beginning of 2000, the stock market was over 11,000. And by the end of that year, it was somewhere in the low 10,000s. When it's in the low 10,000s, it feels like the economy's not doing that well. But it wasn't really a decisive, the economy was doing badly. It was just, and enough people voted the other way. So what happened with that election? Basically, it was a tie. I mean, basically.
Yeah, basically it was a tie.
It was basically a tie. Without arguing which votes belonged to which candidate, and it was basically a tie. It was that close.
It was that close.
So it kind of did work, even in that case. Now, if the market turns, maybe it'll go over 18,000. If it falls to 16,000, remember it was at 7 when Bush left office.
I was going to say, that's still not...
7.5. That was right. About 7.5. The economy's not doing badly.
No.
But compared to how it was at the beginning of the year, people could see it that way.
And they won't make an issue out of it.
If you remember George H.W. Bush's last year in office, he started that year in 1992 with the Gulf War, mm-hmm. which was exceptionally popular in this country. And then he lost re-election.
Yep.
Why? Because the economy, you know, recovering from... a war like that, it wasn't a whole lot to recover from, but it did take some recovery. And economy turned, and Bill Clinton, with the help of Ross Perot,
yep,
won that one. And I'm not being partisan in this case at all.
Oh, no.
I'm just talking how the economy is doing. Anyway, fourth prediction. When Obama came into office and was reelected in 2012, the entire U.S. economy was supposed to collapse. This is according to Rush Limbaugh. Now, if you remember Rush Limbaugh, one of the things he said is, when Obamacare comes in, I'm going to move to Costa Rica. Now, Costa Rica...
Is that where all his money is?
Who knows? Costa Rica does not have anything like Obamacare that relies on private insurance. What Costa Rica has is single-payer, government-subsidized, and anybody living in the country legally is entitled to health care there. I just looked that up. But that's what Costa Rica has, that he was because Obamacare is going to kill the country. Anyway, Rush Limbaugh predicted that the country's economy is going to collapse if Obama is reelected. There's no if about this, and it's going to be ugly. It's going to be gut-wrenching, but it will happen. He predicted the economy would go into free fall. California's going to declare bankruptcy. Do you know how big a budget deficit California has?
I heard it's bad.
Yeah, it's a $4 billion surplus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
They've recovered from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. He said, this is Limbaugh again. And by the way, this comes from Think Progress. I know mathematics and I know economics. I know history. I know socialism, statism, Marxism. I know where it goes. I know what happens at the end of it. He said the economic apocalypse could take a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. It's been a little over 3 years. And has the economy quite collapsed yet?
No.
No.
It could be doing better in some areas, but like the oil sector, not doing well right now. Gas is selling for $1.85. Anyway, those predictions.
So, but basically what we just learned is, these folks anyway, your GOP, are a bunch of drama queens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You should never listen to what you, or believe anything you hear on a talk show.
No. Except for this one.
I'm not making big predictions. I'm just saying those things didn't come true.
Right.
Our defense, we never make predictions on this show.
Oh, we do. Do you know the prediction that I'm proudest of? 2 weeks before the Republican convention in 2012, we predicted that Sarah Palin, Palin would be the vice presidential nominee. And she was.
And there's another prediction that David had made. I will give him credit. He had been saying for years that we're going to get marriage equality because it has something to do with taxes. Mm-hmm. And it did.
Well, that was
the thing that tipped it off. The ultimate thing did not.
Right. Well, no, but it made sense. The court can hear a case about taxes. And we're talking about this now because Patty loves when we talk taxes.
Well, let's talk about the original case that did have to do with taxes.
Windsor?
Yes, the Windsor case.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Windsor case. Because if it wasn't for the Windsor case, there wouldn't have been Obergefell.
Exactly.
Okay, so in the Windsor case, if Edie Windsor had been married to a man, she would have owed zero in inheritance tax.
Right.
Because she was married to a
woman,
she owed over $250,000.
Exactly.
And a couple of things about that. The inheritance tax is something that the right wing absolutely despises.
But it's okay when it applies to us.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. But that's a tax that they absolutely despise. And taxes in general. That's what they campaign on. So it's also the thing that I saw taxes as being the reason is because if you're just talking about taxes, you're not talking about the icky stuff. You're not talking about love and, you know, oh, I want to marry my partner because I love my partner. You're not saying things.
It's pretty black and white.
It's just black and white.
Yeah.
If I'm married to her, I owe zero. If I'm married to him, I owe X amount of dollars. You're just laying it out with numbers. It's just basic fairness.
And for those who are listening, if you listen to the show, I imagine you know what we're talking about. But the specifics are, prior to marriage equality nationwide, if you were married to someone of the same gender, you were treated like roommates. You owned property jointly, not maritally. That's different. So you both have to pay separate taxes on the same property.
In some states, even if you weren't married but you're a straight couple,
mm-hmm.
after the person dies, you can go to the courthouse, file an informal marriage, which is also called common law marriage.
Yes,
and you wouldn't owe any money that way.
But again, prior to marriage equality, when your same-sex partner passed away, you had to buy them out the other 50% of the property, even though you've probably been living together for 20, 30 plus mm-hmm. years. So that was clearly, absolutely unfair. Mm-hmm. So that's why if we hadn't won that, like you said, we probably wouldn't have gotten a bigger field.
Right. And the way we picked Palin, we decided, okay, it has to be somebody of enough stature. So that means governor or at least a senator. And
yeah.
not a House. Not a
member. No,
of a House.
U.S. Senator.
So it had to be one of those. We had a black candidate running for the Democratic. How do you counter that? Well, with a woman. And then we just went across the country from East Coast to West Coast and just went through all the senators and governors. Mm-hmm. The governor of Connecticut was a woman, too liberal. The two women senators from Maine, both too liberal. The governor of Hawaii was a woman at the time, too Jewish.
Right, that's right.
Republicans weren't going to put Linda Lingle, who's Jewish, on the ballot. And we just went through and we said, well, that leaves Sarah Palin from Alaska. She's kind of an unknown quantity.
She's unknown.
And she was starting to get into the news, and I'll tell you what, she has charisma. So, because we tried to get her as a guest.
We did, before we knew who she was.
Well, no, I would have loved to have interviewed her.
Would you like to interview her now?
Yes, she's a nutcase. I'd love to interview her. And I'd give
you know what? Why not ask it? Of course, David would like to interview her. I would. You know what? I would pay to hear that interview. Of course, David wants to interview
fun.
Her.
We could have fun, and we'd be polite. Unlike right-wing talk shows, we are always...
We're always polite, but that would be...
You can ask tough questions. There's a difference between asking a tough question. We need to take a break. We're way past. There's a difference between asking a tough question and being impolite and just...
That's the thing. When you ask them, including mostly Sarah Palin, a tough question, no matter what tone you use, no matter how nice you ask it, it's interpreted that you're trying to be... It's a gotcha question.
Well... You know, maybe, and...
Like, okay, well, you're being mean to me because you asked me a tough question.
Let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis. We'll see if my voice lasts the whole show. It is getting better. And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is Lewis from UT Arlington, and I listen to Lambda Weekly podcasts at lambdaweekly.com.
And, of course, we got... the shortest breaks. Am I on? I can't hear.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, I am. Okay.
Now you know how I feel. That's where I usually sit, and you can never hear yourself.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
But this has not been coming through anyway. I'll tell you what. We were talking about if we had ever gotten Sarah Palin as a gift. I interviewed on another show. He was chief of staff for the Republican... Senate Majority Leader at the time. So this is like early 2000s. And all the person knew was he was coming on a talk show and was being interviewed in Dallas. So obviously talk radio Dallas had to be conservative, mm-hmm. and then he got me. I was at, and I don't remember what the issue was, but we had him on for a specific issue, and I was asking a question, and he was giving the Fox News talking points answer, and it wasn't answering the question, so I asked a question again, and I was being polite, but I kept asking. Finally, he started answering my questions. He started actually listening to the questions I was at and answering them. And after the show, we had a great talk. I didn't agree with him, but I understood his side at least. And you're much better off opposing something when you really understand that issue. So it went back and forth. We had a lovely conversation. He called me up afterwards and said, hey, that was one of the most interesting shows I've ever been on. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, because you're not just using your talking points. He actually
right.
answered a question. But he said, anytime you want me back on, happy to come.
So, you know, another interview that I would love David to do, I couldn't do it. I would love to see you or hear you interview Donald Trump. He's such a hostile guest. Because mm-hmm. his talking points, and if there's any credit to give him, it doesn't matter who he's talking to, Fox News, MSNBC, it doesn't matter. He's the same everywhere, right?
He's been banned from Fox News, he told.
Yeah, he is. He's been banned from Fox News. Yeah. But he's a hostile guest. That would be fun.
But you know what? I wouldn't do an attack interview.
Oh, of course you
wouldn't. Because to me, there's no point in interviewing somebody. I know where he stands on certain
things. Yes.
I understand that. Maybe we try to understand more of his thinking that goes behind wanting to ban all immigrants who were actually being targeted by a terrorist organization.
Or putting up a wall.
Or putting up a wall and having the other side pay for it.
Yes.
Although, and we can, this is a good segue into it, I think after Tanya and Ethan Couch, the Mexican government might want to put up a tall wall to keep our criminals out of Mexico.
Okay, so who is Tanya and Ethan Couch? You've probably heard the story and forgotten their names. I did.
Well, he's always called the affluenza kid.
Exactly. Ethan Couch is the teenager who killed four individuals in a DWI case.
And paralyzed one and injured four others.
Yes. And the judge, rather than giving him, I don't even know what
at the time.
So he was a minor.
He was in juvenile court, and he got 10 years probation.
10 years probation, and everybody about gasped. Mm-hmm. When that ruling came down.
And the reason it made national news wasn't because this happened. This happens in juvenile court. Most juvenile court proceedings are sealed.
Yes.
So we're not hearing about
what is going on. But the reason that he gave was just off the charts crazy. No one had ever heard about this before. And did he make up the word? The judge called it affluenza.
No.
There's actually a sociology.
Is there? Tell us.
On affluenza. And there had actually been other cases, but I don't think they ever made the public's eye or caught
because
the public's
especially
eye.
Especially if it's juvenile court.
Right.
They're sealed. So it was surprising that this one even got out, but I think the reason it did was because the victims' families.
They're wealthy.
You know, the victims' families, though.
Oh, those are not the victims' families.
Yeah, they weren't expecting him to be put away for life, but they were also expecting him to get some jail time.
Right.
And they were outraged when to the media.
Exactly.
Well, now, isn't he up for jail time?
Well,
because
now he has
he's still in Mexico.
He violated his probation. Mm-hmm. Because he was caught on video drinking at another party. And now he's 18, 19?
He's 18. He's
okay, so he's an adult now.
Months.
And so that's a clear violation of his probation. And knew that as a result he was going to be arrested.
Yeah, the drinking age in Texas is 21.
Exactly. Well, not regardless, he violated. Even if he was 21, he's not supposed to anymore. And
but he's doing something.
He is doing something illegal.
In and of itself, that is illegal.
So there's a double whammy there. Yes. So his mother has took him and
they were
on the run.
They ran to PV.
Exactly. So they have now been caught in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Okay. Here's what I think. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I was just going to say, and didn't he also or allegedly have a gun with him, and that violates Mexican? He took a gun from the United States and carried it over.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
With him. So the Mexican authorities are now saying, no, you have to spend time in our prison for that particular crime.
Part of the extradition has to do with the mother was just in Mexico illegally. So they were able to deport her. The kid was in Mexico on a parole violation, and because there's a legal something, they're holding them there and treating that case differently. Here's what I think of the whole case, though. Okay, if the defense and the court bought the idea that this kid never learned responsibility and it's the parents' fault, the mother just proved that. Because once again, there was a video that came out of the kid drinking, so we'll just go to Mexico and I'll protect him there.
Right.
Okay, so the mother just proved how she has not taught him responsibility, that while he's on probation, 10 years probation for killing people, his whatever, his having fun and partying was more important than following the court's very, very lenient sentence. I'm hoping that the justice system in Texas throws the book at her, because if the court was saying, and I'm taking the court's word at face value, that they never taught the kid responsibility, well then the responsibility for those murders falls on the parents, and I will be very happy to see her in jail. It won't be for the murders. It will be for aiding and abetting, basically, a fugitive.
Well, interesting, of course, now I don't buy it, but her attorneys are saying that while the public may not like what she did, may not agree with what she did, or may have strong feelings against what she did, make no mistake, Tanya did not violate any law of the state of Texas and is eager to have her day in court. I don't see how she did not violate law, but I'm not an attorney. But she is already back in the United States. She's in L.A. Probably, like David said, she'll probably be back in Texas tomorrow. Her bail was set at $1 million. He is still in Mexico, and actually that could take weeks, if not months, to have him get transported back to the United States.
But he is in jail. So, yeah, I mean, that's why...
I don't say anything about the gun stuff, but that might be.
Mm-hmm. it doesn't bother me that he's in jail. In jail.
That's brilliant.
If anything, that's probably, that's justice.
I also love that for the first time, he's not with Mommy.
Yes.
I love that they separated them.
Yes.
He's going to have to grow up real quickly and figure out how to be an adult.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry the parents didn't teach him anything, but he's going to have to learn it one way or the other. And, Carol Burnett once said something that I've always loved. Her daughter had a lot of problems with drugs.
She did.
And she was sent to rehab. And Carol Burnett at one point said, you know, poor thing, she was raised in this family where, I'm famous and I'm always, and I work hard. And then she said it wasn't until she realized growing up as Carol Burnett's daughter isn't the worst thing in the world, that she realized, no, she has the drug problem. She needs to take care of it. We can do what we can to help her. And she got serious about helping her, that she actually was helped.
Right.
Same thing. Growing up in this wealthy family isn't the worst thing in the world for this kid.
It's not.
And, if the parents are going to enable him and they think they're all entitled, well, some of those, I don't know how many million dollars this family has, but a million of it is going to her bail.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm fine with that. Anyway, enough about Ethan.
But I did want to add that she did make D magazines. We want to keep it local.
And we want to keep it gay. So
and want to keep it gay. But she did make D magazines worst parents of the year list.
List?
Well, that's understandable.
I'm kind of surprised they had a worst parents list.
Oh,
I guess easy. I need to read that list. I was going to say I need to make sure I'm not on it. But yeah, she did make numero uno. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else went on this year?
Speaking of million dollars bail.
Mm-hmm. Famed comedian, TV star Bill Cosby has finally been arrested after the ongoing and countless accusations of sexual misconduct with ladies. And his bail was set at $1 million. Mm-hmm. Now, this one stems from stems back from 12 years ago. And
it. Finally, lesbian connection.
Okay.
The plaintiff.
Oh.
Woman he attacked is a lesbian.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now, normally would I...
How did you know that?
It's been in the news. That was one of the reasons that the prosecutor thinks this is a strong case. Because Cosby is claiming in a number of the cases...
That these were consensual.
That they were consensual.
Yes.
And the prosecutor is going to say, how consensual was it that a lesbian wanted to have sex with you?
Interesting. That is very interesting, mm-hmm. David. I mean, they say there's new evidence, but of course they're not going to share
it.
Now, I'm sure that's part of it. They're not going to show. They're going to share all that. Well, this lady, she was a former Temple University employee, went home with him to visit his house. Who wouldn't want to go visit Bill Cosby's house?
They were friends.
They were friends, yes. And you know, the rest is history, which she has accused him
of. He gave her three
pills. Yes.
Oddly, she took them.
Right.
I think she's claiming she thought it was something else.
Hmm.
I still don't take pills from somebody else.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I mean.
But he gave her some pills, and then whatever happened.
But this case did settle out of court back in 2004. They went to mediation. But that was just, again, that was the civil side of it. Now, in the rest of the case, at the time, the prosecutor refused to even charge Cosby for lack of evidence. So now, after some digging, they had those records. They were sealed, had them opened up, not to the public, but to her attorneys, and they have found more evidence. That's why they have gone forth. And they filed, I think, 2 or 3 days before the statute of limitations ran out.
Right, because it was ending January 2016.
Yeah. Very close.
One of the things about the other cases, there are about 50 women who have come forward.
Mm-hmm.
They have not all come forward with this same kind of case. So when you hear 50 women... It's not 50 sexual assaults.
It's not sexual assaults, exactly. Some of them, because I did hear, and in fairness to, you know, his side of the story, his attorney has been talking a lot, and she says some of the accusations are simple, oh, he brushed up against me wrong at a party.
Right.
You know, so some of, you know, they're not all, you know, Bill Cosby raped me or sexually hit you know, had sex with me without, you know, my consent or whatever. You're absolutely right. But it's going to be interesting. We'll see how far what comes out. Another thing, interesting. He did. He was there at his arraignment, but he did not enter a plea. I didn't know you could do that.
Well, I don't know Pennsylvania law.
Okay. So, but that kind of. Why wouldn't you enter a plea?
Why wouldn't you enter a plea?
I mean, if you're fighting this, okay, well, say you're not guilty.
It's possible state law gives you a period of time that, I mean, the charges were filed, he was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You barely have time to contact your attorney to get in. I mean, he turned himself in immediately.
But as far as time, he knew this was coming. He knew this was coming. It's been in the news for the past 2 years.
I'm just saying it's possible that Pennsylvania law gives you more time.
Apparently, because I've never heard of that. But he did not enter a plea, and that also makes me think, is he going to come to some type of...
A plea deal.
A plea deal, exactly.
Well, and that was one thing that they were discussing.
So
his wife was ordered to give a deposition.
Right,
give a deposition, but it's being put out in the news that she's been ordered to be a witness against him. That's not the same thing.
That's incorrect news.
That is very incorrect news.
Yeah, she was ordered to give a deposition.
Yes.
One of the headlines on Yahoo News, the headline was Cosby's wife ordered to testify against her husband.
Exactly.
There's so much wrong with that statement.
Well, first of all, they're married. You can't make her do that.
Well, and then going beyond that, she's ordered to testify against him. If she says, well, he never did these things, no, you have to testify against him.
Right.
You can't tell the person what their testimony
is.
Should be.
Exactly.
So you only know that somebody has tested. Now, she might end up being the plaintiff's hostile witness.
Right.
But she can't be ordered to be a witness. But
she
was ordered to give a deposition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Big difference.
So.
And she can't be ordered to be a hostile.
Right.
I mean, she can't be ordered to testify against him in the deposition either. I mean,
right.
Ask me a question, I'll answer it.
And wasn't that because she worked as his manager, so they're, I think...
It was something on grounds like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious, what do you all think? I hear a lot of, you know, on social media, I think a lot of people come to Cosby's defense, of course, because he's a beloved celebrity.
You think so much
that's
anymore?
That's a given, but...
I think less and less.
I see a lot. He has a lot of support out there.
Okay.
And regardless of whether support him or not, I think it's fair to at least listen to these women. And one of the main complaints I hear is, what took them so long? Why are you just now coming forth? And I think, I mean, I've heard some statistics. I can't recall them here. But it's kind of fairly known that most victims of sexual assault, rape, don't come forward. And if they do, it is years later, months later, or days later, after they've had time to regroup, get their thoughts together. There's
well,
a lot of shame
case,
in it.
Would be, you know, if you report your rape, that's one thing. If you report you're raped by Bill Cosby,
exactly.
Is anybody going to believe me?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, David. Exactly. And this woman, this case, again, this is stemming back from 2004.
And the other cases, by the way, are all beyond the statute of limitations.
All beyond. Right, so. All beyond. So why would they even be coming forward? They can't get any monetary gain out of it. So the case that is actually he is now officially been charged with, she did say something. It just didn't go to court. They settled out of court. So she did say something fairly in I don't know what the right amount of time is, but
within that year.
Within that year,
I think
yes.
It was quick.
I think it was fairly quick. It was under a year. You're absolutely right.
But I think it was that week or month anyway.
Right. So, but this is going to be interesting, whether he does a plea deal or if we actually see a full trial.
I think there's going to be a plea deal. He's 78 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeble. If you saw him...
No, he did. He looked pretty frail.
He looked terrible.
Yeah. Does he really want to go through it? And this could take months.
Mm-hmm.
You know...
Oh, yeah. I don't know if Pennsylvania allows show trials, but if they do...
This
is an O.J. Simpson type
thing.
This
trial. Is an O.J. Simpson type thing, yeah. So
hopefully it's not a judge that would allow that kind of garbage to go on.
Right.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and with Josh, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and Josh. And we're just talking kind of end-of-the-year type stuff. Who is this? Alternet put out a list of the five biggest conspiracy theories of the year.
Okay.
Conspiracy number one is that Donald Trump is actually working for Hillary Clinton, and he's out there trying to undermine the Republican Party. He is doing that.
Well, yeah, I hadn't heard the first part. I've heard the second part. I hadn't heard the first part that he's working for Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know
I think
what?
That's reaching.
Yeah. He's socialized with the Clintons in the past. He's always been a Democrat. Pretty much. Especially local.
In all fairness of facts, he has donated to both parties.
Yeah.
He has. And they both, Hillary and Bill, both say they were very casual with him. I don't know if there was any big friendships there, but they were casual with each other.
But
yeah, they're not strangers.
You know, it's like a rare left wing extremist like me who wants to interview Sarah Palin and not to tear her apart. I think it would be fun. I think
it would be
an interesting interview.
That
well, if
fun.
Sarah is listening to Gay and Lesbian. Yeah. Talk show radio right now.
Or if anyone knows
how to get in contact with her, let's
conspiracy theory number two.
Okay.
Jade Helm. The military takeover of Texas. That Texas was going to be taken over by the United States. And who bought into that conspiracy theory? Our governor, Greg Abbott.
That's true.
He was panicking. He called out the Texas State Guard.
Oh,
do you know what the Texas State Guard is?
It's kind of like the National Guard.
You have the Army.
Yeah.
Then you have the National Guard.
Yeah.
The Texas State Guard, and the National Guard tends to get a lot of the leftovers from the Army and the Navy. And the Texas State Guard gets a lot of leftovers from the Texas National Guard. They do things like, you know, the Texas National Guard used to be, if there was tornado relief that needed to, that's all Texas State Guard type stuff. It's stuff within the state of Texas. It's under the control of the governor. National Guard, it depends on what the operation is. The president can call out National Guard and send them over to Iraq or wherever. The governor can call out the National Guard and send them to Garland.
Yes.
I mean for the tornado, Lauren. I'm not making fun of the fact
that your city isn't there anymore. And, you know, that's digressing. But I saw the wreckage yesterday. Mm. It was pretty bad.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, it's not that far from our house, but we hadn't gone that way since. But yesterday we did. It's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian's sister has a house up in Blue Ridge, and that house, three of the four walls are standing because it was a big, solid house.
Mm-hmm.
but roof torn off from the pictures. You can see their bedrooms up there and front of the house. Yeah. So the house is like total loss.
Yeah.
It's awful. Garland, one of the things that's come out is lots of shoddy construction. Anyway.
Conspiracy theory number
three. Planned Parenthood is selling baby parts. Completely fabricated.
Completely re-edited video. All jokes aside, I thought that was just a complete travesty. And the results of that completely fabricated story are still happening. Now Planned Parenthood has been ripped of all of the funds that they usually get from the federal government, but it's up to the state to disperse those funds. Now they've taken that away. It's just awful.
Do you know, at one point or another, this is the statistic, 80% of women have gotten their health care at some point from Planned Parenthood. And no, I do not mean that 80% of women have gotten an abortion.
No.
Abortion in Texas comprises something like 2.1, something like that, percent of what Planned Parenthood does.
Yes.
98% of it is things like mammograms and other kind of gynecological.
Exactly.
And being Planned Parenthood, helping people to get pregnant.
Right. Exactly. They forget about that part.
San Bernardino. This is conspiracy theory number three.
Four.
Didn't happen. Yeah, the mass shooting.
Yeah.
Those dead people.
No,
yeah, didn't happen. No. And conspiracy theory number five. This one comes from Ben Carson. Quote, my own personal theory is that Joseph built the pyramids to store grain. And that makes sense. Because you know where the pyramids are? You have the Nile and the Nile Valley. The pyramids are beyond that. They're where it's really a sand desert. So it looks like a beach, kind of, you know, that kind of desert, not like West Texas desert, which is arid, but, you know, plants grow and there's cactus growing. There is nothing. It's desolate. It's on sand. Now, if you're going to grow grain, aren't you going to grow it in the sand? No. You're not going to grow. Grain won't grow in hot, arid sand. So if you're growing grain along the Nile Valley, where would you want to take it? Well, I'd want to schlep it all the way across into the desert to put it in these. This theory, not only is there no evidence of this.
Of course not.
It's just so stupid as to be infuriating.
Something stupid coming out of Ben Carson's mouth.
Yes,
no.
So this week his campaign manager and media manager and 20 top staffers quit.
Now, I expect him to pull out within the next month or two.
We'll see.
He's slowly, if not quickly, dropping.
The campaign is falling apart.
Yeah, totally. So
you have some good...
So I have some quotes, and they all have to do with, you know, as a result of the marriage ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court this year, this summer. And they're all pretty anti-gay, as you can expect. They're all from presidential candidates. And I just thought, why don't you guess who said this?
Okay.
Some are not that bad, but... Some are. The only approach is for those who are supporters of marriage being defined as between one man and one woman, ultimately to consider pursuing a constitutional amendment. Who said it?
I think Cruz.
Not far off, it was Scott Walker.
Oh, Scott Walker. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who has he's dropped out already.
He's out, yeah.
Okay.
Another one dropped out this week, Pataki, former governor of New York.
Okay, not that he had a chance, but yeah. So here's another one. After they are done going after individuals, the next step is to argue that the teachings of mainstream Christianity, the catechism of the Catholic Church, is the hate speech, and there's a real danger present. Who said that?
Rubio.
Good job, David. Ding, ding, ding. It was Rubio. Okay. The next one. Sorry, come on. And I say this because I thought, you know, we need to be informed. If you need to know if we have some LGBT folks out there thinking about voting GOP, you're more than welcome to. But you need to know what they think about you. So, This one says, we need to reverse the recent trend of secular progressives using activist federal judges to drive faith out of society. This person also said that when you go, let me see here, it's really not that smart because people who go into prison straight, they come out gay. Who said that?
Oh, I remember that, that whole, you come out of prison gay.
And here's another thing you said.
Okay.
To force a Christian baker to make a wedding cake for a gay couple is, quote, really not all that smart because the baker might put poison in the cake.
Now I agree with
end
him on
quote.
That. I want to know where you stand. I do not want you baking a cake for
and
me.
And that's not Cruz?
Is
it Cruz?
It's not Cruz.
Okay, so it's one of the other loonies.
Rubio?
No.
You already mentioned him earlier. It's Ben Carson.
That one's Carson.
That one is Carson.
Oh, wow.
Now, as far as the cake issue, I agree with him if I know that about you. But the problem is, I shouldn't even know that. If you walk into a store, if I walk into, as a proprietor, if I walk in to order a cake, you need to tell me what the price is. Here's what we can do. Here's what we can't do as far as the design. End of story. I don't need to know your personal opinion about my wedding.
No, of course not.
Exactly. So I should.
And the store owner in that case, they would know whether it was a gay or a straight wedding because of the cake topper.
No, they would know. Mm-hmm. But I said I don't need to know their opinion about it.
Oh, sure.
That's what I mean. But once I find out, okay, this cake owner or baker is homophobic, no, Ben Carson's right. I don't want you doing my cake because you'll probably poison the cake. You're absolutely right.
Or at least spit in it.
Which is poison.
Well, not necessarily. It's not poison, but it's...
Yes, okay. Here, there's a few more here. Come on. Let's see here. Okay, I may stand alone, but I'm absolutely faithful to the issue of marriage, not because it's political expedient, but because it's biblical, because of its biblical position, the historical position of the right in the right position. We must defend and protect and preserve traditional marriage. Who said
Cruz.
That? No.
That's I'll my go-to person on...
Cruz is not the only loony in this bunch.
So it's not Carson, not Rubio, not Walker.
I'll give you a hint. I believe this person has already dropped out.
Oh.
Some of these quotes are from much earlier this year.
Governor?
He is a former governor.
Yeah, Perry?
No. Oh, you know, that's a good guess. But no, it's Huckabee.
No, it's Huck. Okay.
Yeah. Former governor of Arkansas.
And no, he's still in.
He is still in. Yeah, okay, still in. Okay. Thought he had dropped out. Mm-hmm. Not that he's gonna has a chance, but oh well. Let's see here. There's another one. Sorry, this is going slow.
You know, some people like Huckabee, they're not really running for president. They know they don't have a chance.
Exactly.
They're running for higher speaker fees.
That's a good point.
You know, Carson, guys. After this is over, he'll be able to command $100,000 per speech.
Okay, this person has authored legislation and a constitutional amendment to the Senate. There's a big hint right there. In the Senate to prevent federal courts from further interfering with any state's constitutionality, protected authority to define marriage. And, of course, obviously, this was before the Supreme Court's ruling.
Right. Rand Paul.
No.
Cruz.
Now Cruz. Is he the only senator running?
Cruz. Rand Paul. There's two.
Okay.
And Rubio, three.
I forgot Rubio's a senator. That's right. I keep thinking of him as the state senator. Okay, now this one, hint. This is close to home. In response to the Supreme Court decision, why does this keep popping up in my pop-ups? I am disappointed the Supreme Court today chose to change centuries-old definition of marriage as between one man and one woman. I am a firm believer in traditional marriage. That's actually kind of soft compared to what everybody else says.
Well, everybody else says it's biblical, which
exactly.
It's not. Just centuries old means, it goes back couple hundred years.
Here's another hint. Here's a bigger hint. Who said this? He also said, "I may have the genetic coding that I am inclined to be an alcoholic, but I have the desire not to do that." It's hard to read this without laughing. And I look at homosexual issue the same way. Who said that?
Perry.
Perry. Good job.
Wow.
You gotta know who you're voting for, people.
Oh, I know our former governor.
And that's it. That's it.
Okay, so who do you think is going to start winning primaries once the voting starts? We have 6 weeks to the New Hampshire primary, or to the Iowa caucus, then the New Hampshire primary the next week. Who do you think is going to start winning?
I think we might get a surprise. I think Rubio might win one of those two, and Cruz. I don't think Cruz is going to. Obviously, Donald Trump. I still don't know why his numbers are so high, but they are.
What do you think, Josh?
Oh.
No prediction.
What's your prediction?
I think Cruz is going to do very well, and here's why. He's the one candidate out of how many are running?
Oh, God, I can't
165.
Count. 165.
Okay. He's the one candidate with an on-the-ground campaign group. He has people to work the Iowa caucuses. He has people working in New Hampshire. He has people working in South Carolina. He's the one who's put together.
So it's a well-rounded campaign.
It's a traditional campaign. The other thing is, last election when he became senator, is that who you were expecting to win?
No, but that's
Texas.
Had
you ever heard of him?
No, but that's Texas.
Did you think what he was saying was making sense at that time?
No, I didn't, but that's Texas.
Okay.
I can't say that.
But he surprises.
But how did he surprise? He ran a very efficient campaign. Don't underestimate Ted Cruz.
I'll give you that.
So I think Ted Cruz is going to win some. I think what we'll find out about Trump is whether people are going to cheer on a reality star whose show they used to like, or if they're serious voters.
Right. Are they actually going to show up to the polls? Mm-hmm.
And Trump's popularity and the crowds turning out for Trump really are that questionable.
Oh, of course.
Because he's not a traditional Republican. I'm not saying he was a Hillary.
He's not a traditional candidate, period.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Because he's not a traditional candidate, it's hard to tell what his actual support is.
Good point.
He's not soliciting campaign money.
Mm-hmm.
He is taking it, and he's... But he's not soliciting it in the traditional way.
No.
A candidate... One of the reasons that Bernie Sanders is so viable is he has more contributors than anybody. And when I say more contributors than anybody, I mean more than Barack Obama had. And that was a huge
presence. That was huge.
More than Bill Clinton had. He has lots and lots and lots of grassroots support.
So, okay, well, now let's switch sides for a little bit. Do you really think he has a chance to beat Hillary?
I think anything can happen. I think he is a viable candidate. You know, if you put him up against any of the Republicans, he wins. As of today, one-on-one race. Not only does he win, but in certain states, he does better against the Republicans on a one-to-one than Hillary does.
Interesting.
He appeals more. He hates this comparison. He hates being compared to Trump. He appeals.
Yeah, I would too. That's an insult.
In that. Well, one's qualified to.
Right, exactly.
He appeals in that same sort of way.
Right. So do you think, you know, you send that one-on-one with the Republican, he wins all of them. Do you think
that...
Right. But do you think that has to do with simply because, okay, Democrats are favored or because she's a woman?
Oh, I think there's a whole number of reasons. You know, one of the things, I like Hillary. I saw her when she was here, and I've never heard her speak better.
I will say, I like her much better this time around than when she ran against Barack Obama. I was not a fan.
Understand, I mean, with Hillary, you get scandals. You get,
right.
You know, we're going to get the women garbage just like we had all the black garbage for the last 10 years. We're
right.
going to get all that.
You got to get it.
You're going to get all the Bill Clinton baggage. We understand that.
Right, right.
But it's going to come. Anyway, this has been an impromptu version of Lambda.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun.
We'll see you next week. I think we have a guest I completely blanked.
And I forgot because I think you even emailed it to me, but I forgot.
Okay.
So, okay.
We'll be back with that guest
next week.
Next week.
Happy New Year.